simple life. Ooh, go get your butt off of that lazy couch. Put down a laptop and get out of that house. Don't need no nothing, all I need is time for the simple life.
Welcome to Simple Life Radio, stories for the adventurous at heart. I'm your host for this hour, a focus on perspectives and real life experiences, usually of the folks on the Central Coast of California. But today's going to be a little different. Although we don't have anyone in the studio with me, it's just me and you, I pulled together a combination of perspectives to share with you, and I hope that you enjoy the show today. You know, we've heard a lot this last peak, the last week, about stalemates and differences of opinions, opposing perspectives, and it all sounds like rigidity to me. So this week, I thought it would be a good time to take a look at what else is going on out there. It can't all be bad. And after all, you know, the yin-yang has opposites, but they always balance each other out. So anyway, I have a few guests, but as I say, they're just virtual guests, and I hope that you enjoy the show. I will be taking calls later, and that's provided the phone lines are working. So if you can't get through, you can always email me in the studio at simplelifeccf@gmail.com. I'll make sure and have my Gmail screen open so that I can catch what our messages are coming in. So earlier today at the bookstore, Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore in Secret Garden, I had a conversation with one of our on-site consultants. Her name is Elizabeth Batora, and she actually is a Vedic astrologer. For those of you who don't know the word Vedic or haven't heard of Vedic astrology, I'm just going to give you kind of a thumbnail, or at least what I know about the difference between Western astrology and Vedic astrology. Vedic astrology was the original astrology, meaning that's what was practiced thousands of years ago, and is a practice of looking at the stars and the constellations within a specific time, place, location, rather than the Western astrology, which is the way it was in the sky 2,000 years ago, and then we just kind of look at that over and over again. If that didn't confuse you, keep in mind that there's 23 degrees difference. So, all that in mind, I always go to Elizabeth whenever I have a chance or if I have a question, and I like to get her perspective because she's very grounded and she's also very knowledgeable about aspects of the bigger picture that I am not. And when I went to her today, one of the things that I was thinking about was all of this going on in, you know, politics and what we're hearing on the news. And I asked her a few questions, and I'm going to let you know what I asked her, and then I'm going to play what her response is. So just between you and me, audience, I was listening to Tom Hartman the other night, and this was probably a day or two after the government shut down. And he had some great callers. Conversation came up about what scenarios there would be for our situation. And one of the scenarios that was talked about was the possibility that President Obama could actually use his authority based on a constitutional provision to prevent an economic collapse. And that if he did that, it's speculated that the Republican Party would certainly move for impeachment. And so I wanted to get her take on that. And then the other thing I wanted to know was if there was anything astrologically that had any impact in a negative way, you know, where it concerns President Obama or the United States of America around the date of October 17th, because we're hearing that a lot in the news. And I wanted to get her take on, you know, if things change, oftentimes it's very unsettling. So if you look at the bigger picture, is it really something to be as concerned about as many people are today, or is there something in the bigger picture that we're not seeing? And now we're going to hear Elizabeth's comments. So bear with me. If I did everything right, it should work.
Okay, so I'm going to speak in general terms about Obama and about the Republican Party. what I'm going to say is that in terms of Obama's chart, Mars is about to go, well, it has started to go into his eighth house, transiting his eighth house, which is a lot of change, a lot of death of one way of being and a transformation into another way of being. Mars will be in a very strong placement, and it's on his Mars. His Mars and his chart is also in the eighth house. So he's very good at creating transformations, in other words, and there's a noble aspect to it. What that means is there's a good aspect to it. Something noble comes from these changes. So we've had a lot of turbulence the last few years. We have a transit going on with Saturn and Rahu, which is the north node of the moon, which is a blindsiding event from time to time. Saturn causes a lot of growth, but very, very slowly. It brings truth to light. It's the planet of truth. So blindsiding events will happen, which will lead to higher truths. Saturn being exalted means that that's the case, that the truths are high, exalted truths. But they do come in a hard way because Saturn is bringing them, and they do come from blindsiding events. Things just come out of the blue. The carpet gets pulled out from underneath in some situation, like in Syria, like with the government happening right now. There's a lot of chaos that starts, and out of the turbulence, out of the chaos, comes some higher truth. That being said, in Obama's chart, adding Mars to the equation, Mars activates things. So it brings changes faster than just Saturn. Saturn is very slow. Mars is fast. Mars is fire, and it moves things faster. So that's what we can expect to happen. It just went in today. Mars went into Leo today. And right now, it's what is called a Sandi point, which means it's weak whenever a planet is in the last degree or the first degree of a new sign. It's very weak, so not a lot can happen. But for Obama, on the 16th, give or take a few days, 16th of October, there's a lot that's going to be able to be happening from him that will ultimately mean very good things. October 17th is a movement day, and starting movement towards change, 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 lots of changes. Lots of fast changes, and a lot of powerful changes. So, about the structures, what happened in December of 2012 was an aligning of a lot of planetary influences that are very, very pure, powerful, and for the good, for enlightenment, for an enlightened planet. This isn't something that just happened on December 21st, 2012. It's actually a 200-year window. This has been happening for 100 years and will continue to happen for another 100 years. But the midpoint of that 200-year window of opening towards more enlightenment on the planet was on December 21st, 2012. So everything in nature is gradual. Something gets broken down in order to be recreated onto a higher level. That's evolution. And that's what's been happening. This first 100 years, a lot of things were being destroyed. And the next 100 years, a lot of things are going to be created. In fact, from what we have just in the past 100 years, you can see that what's come out of the death of some paradigms, some structures, have come the green movement, recycling and making wonderful things out of natural elements, becoming conscious of the earth, that we are a part of the earth. we are networked with all of the earth and with all of nature. And that's just going to grow more and more and more. So when we see and are bombarded with news stories about destructive things, that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's part of nature, and it's part of especially this time on the planet where structures that don't work anymore, that have had their heyday, that have worked in the past but no longer do, those are things that are being winnowed, reconstructed, and something wonderful is being renewed in that structure. So that's what the Age of Aquarius is all about. And this transition is going to go on for a long time. But it is important to know that getting into a fear about these things that are dying is not healthy. And getting into the realization that good, something is dying, therefore something new is going to be born. And that new thing that's going to be born is very evolutionary, very wonderful. It's just that that's the process things take. They have to die first in order to be restructured. So that's the big picture.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
You're welcome.
And I really appreciate everyone's indulgence. As you could hear, the background noise that was actually recorded in the bookstore. I'm glad we have the technology that can do such things. But you heard the phone ringing and the music that we're playing. Elizabeth is at the bookstore doing sessions, semi-private sessions with people who have questions. She's there on Thursday from 2 until 5 in the afternoon, and then each Saturday 11 until 3. So I'm going to try to get her in the studio for some more in-depth live interview to share with you. But I was really encouraged, and I hope you were too, around her comments that, because it's true, you know, when things change, even though it might be the answer to our prayers, when things change, it's natural to feel uncertain and unstable and perhaps a little fearful. So it's a good reminder to kind of touch into the fact that, yes, change is a good thing. Without change, life stops. And we just want to be looking for what are the positive implements that this change is bringing. And I know a lot of people in a lot of places are putting their best energies around that. So if you do have questions or comments, actually, I don't have the Vedic Astrology Insight, so you'll have to hold some of those questions. But our number here at the studio, if the phones are working, is 831-899-5792. We have a couple minutes until the break. And if I can't get you before the break, then I will certainly do my best to have those on the air after the break. So if you don't know about Vedic Astrology or our other consultants, we're actually known for having on-site consultants, people who work with numerology, astrology, tarot, hypnotherapy. We have a PhD on staff. And you just either walk in and have a conversation with them or give a call. We're happy to answer any questions that we can. It is listed on our website, pilgrimsway.com. And inside the front door of the bookstore, we have a handout called A Consultation Menu that have all of their photos and bios and scheduled times and let you know how those sessions work. But yeah, really good insight, very grounded. In fact, I should mention how I first met Elizabeth. This was before I was involved with Pilgrim's Way or Paul at all. And it was actually way before Elizabeth was part of Pilgrim's Way either. And I was, I had just moved into Carmel and having finished my career in Silicon Valley, which I was so happy to be complete with, I was at a standstill. You know, it's like, okay, that one ended. Speaking of change, there was nothing really showing up. And so a lot of times that's when people have the impetus to go and get someone else's perspective or some insight on the matter. And I did. And she said, well, you know, you're in sort of a sabbatical right now, and I hope you're resting up, because once this ends in about a year and a half, you are not going to have much rest at all. And, you know, if I meet you in the store and I have an opportunity to share the rest with you, there was a lot of detail that she gave me that, looking back, totally fits what happened in my life. So there's something to this stuff, no matter what you really believe. It's got something there. So we're going to go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we'll have more good perspective. This is Simple Life. I'm Cynthia Fernandez, your host, and we're on KRXA 540 AM. And we're back in studio. This is Cynthia Fernandez with you and our show Simple Life on KRXA 540 AM. You know, there are some issues that really know no bounds. In the socioeconomic climate today, we see a familiar pattern around the globe. So I want to share something with you that really made me stop and listen deeply. It was not originally intended to be heard by more than the small graduating class of 225 students that it was presented to. And what I realized when I listened was that this individual's artistic delivery, like a recycled art project, hits the nail on the head. It hits the mark. He tells it like it is, at least some of the time, or for some of the people. And what I want to know is who else out there resonates with what he's saying. So just to give you a little background, this is a former Perth art student described as sublimely talented, witty, smart, and unabashedly offensive. In a musical career that has taken the world by storm, he's been awarded an honorary doctorate by the University of Western Australia. So you're going to hear a thick accent. So just about a week ago or so, Tim Minchin joined 225 graduating students who are receiving their degrees in historic Winthrop Hall. He delivered what's called an occasional address to the graduates, and he was awarded an honorary degree of Doctor of Letters for his contribution to the arts. So I want to share this with you, and when I'm done, if you want to give a call, you're welcome to do that, 899-5792, but please check this out. And why do we not have any sound?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mr. Tim Minchin.
In darker days, I did a corporate gig at a conference for this big company who made and sold accounting software. In a bid, I presume, to inspire their salespeople to greater heights, they'd forked out 12 grand for an inspirational speaker who was this extreme sports guy who had had a couple of his limbs frozen off when he got stuck on a ledge on some mountain. It was weird. Software salespeople, I think, need to hear from someone who has had a long, successful, and happy career in software sales, not from an overly optimistic ex-mountaineer. Some poor guy who had arrived in the morning hoping to learn more about sales techniques ended up going home worried about the blood flow to his extremities. It's not inspirational, it's confusing. And if the mountain was meant to be a symbol of life's challenges and the loss of limbs a metaphor for sacrifice, the software guy's not going to get it, is he? Because he didn't do an arts degree, did he? He should have. Arts degrees are awesome and they help you find meaning where there is none. And let me assure you, there is none. Don't go looking for it. Searching for meaning is like searching for a rhyme scheme in a cookbook. You won't find it, and it'll bugger up your souffle. If you didn't like that metaphor, you won't like the rest of it. Point being, I'm not an inspirational speaker. I've never lost a limb on a mountainside, metaphorically or otherwise, and I'm certainly not here to give career advice because, well, I've never really had what most would consider a job. However, I have had large groups of people listening to what I say for quite a few years now, and it's given me an inflated sense of self-importance. So I will now, at the ripe old age of 37.9, bestow upon you 9 life lessons. To echo, of course, the 9 lessons of Carols of the Traditional Christmas Service, which is also pretty obscure. You might find some of this stuff inspiring, you will definitely find some of it boring, and you will definitely forget all of it within a week. And be warned, there will be lots of hokey similes and obscure aphorisms which start well but end up making no sense. So listen up or you'll get lost, like a blind man clapping in a pharmacy trying to echolocate the contact lens fluid. Looking for my old poetry teacher. Here we go. Ready? One, you don't have to have a dream. Americans on talent shows always talk about their dreams. Fine, if you have something you've always wanted to do, dreamed of, like in your heart, go for it. After all, it's something to do with your time, chasing a dream. And if it's a big enough one, it'll take you most of your life to achieve, so by the time you get to it and are staring into the abyss of the meaninglessness of your achievement, you'll be almost dead, so it won't matter. I never really had one of these dreams, and so I advocate passionate dedication to the pursuit of short-term goals. Be micro-ambitious. Put your head down and work with pride on whatever is in front of you. You never know where you might end up. Just be aware the next worthy pursuit will probably appear in your periphery, which is why you should be careful of long-term dreams. If you focus too far in front of you, you won't see the shiny thing out the corner of your eye. Right? Good. Advice, metaphor. Look at me go. Two, don't seek happiness. Happiness is like an orgasm. If you think about it too much, it goes away. Keep busy and aim to make someone else happy, and you might find you get some as a side effect. We didn't evolve to be constantly content. Contented Homo erectus got eaten before passing on their genes. Three, remember, it's all luck. You are lucky to be here. You are incalculably lucky to be born and incredibly lucky to be brought up by a nice family that helped you get educated and encouraged you to go to uni. Or if you were born into a horrible family, that's unlucky and you have my sympathy, but you are still lucky. Lucky that you happen to be made of the sort of DNA that went on to make the sort of brain which, when placed in a horrible childhood environment, would make decisions that meant you ended up eventually graduating uni. Well done, you, for dragging yourself up by your shoelaces, but you were lucky. You didn't create the bit of you that dragged you up. They're not even your shoelaces. I suppose I worked hard to achieve whatever dubious achievements I've achieved, but I didn't make the bit of me that works hard, and more than I made the bit of me that ate too many burgers instead of attending lectures when I was here at UWA. Understanding that you can't truly take credit for your successes, nor truly blame others for their failures, will humble you and make you more compassionate. Empathy is intuitive, but is also something you can work on intellectually. Four, exercise. I'm sorry, you pasty, pale, smoking philosophy grads, arching your eyebrows into a Cartesian curve as you watch the human movement mob winding their way through the miniature traffic cones of their existence. You are wrong and they are right. Well, you're half right. You think, therefore you are, but also you jog, therefore you sleep, therefore you're not overwhelmed by existential angst. You can't be can't, and you don't want to be. Play a sport, do yoga, pump iron, run, whatever, but take care of your body. You're going to need it. Most of you mob are going to live to nearly 100, and even the poorest of you will achieve a level of wealth that most humans throughout history could not have dreamed of. And this long, luxurious life ahead of you is going to make you depressed. But don't despair. There is an inverse correlation between depression and exercise. Do it. Run, my beautiful intellectuals, run. Five, be hard on your opinions. A famous bon mot asserts that opinions are like assholes, in that everyone has one. There is great wisdom in this, but I would add that opinions differ significantly from assholes in that yours should be constantly and thoroughly examined. I used to do exams in here. It's revenge. We must think critically and not just about the ideas of others. Be hard on your beliefs. Take them out onto the veranda and hit them with a cricket bat. Be intellectually rigorous. Identify your biases, your prejudices, your privileges. Most of society's arguments are kept alive by a failure to acknowledge nuance. We tend to generate false dichotomies and then try to argue one point using two entirely different sets of assumptions. Like two tennis players trying to win a match by hitting beautifully executed shots from either end of separate tennis courts. By the way, while I have science and arts graduates in front of me, please don't make the mistake of thinking the arts and sciences are at odds with one another. That is a recent, stupid, and damaging idea. You don't have to be unscientific to make beautiful art, to write beautiful things. If you need proof, Twain, Douglas Adams, Vonnegut, McEwen, Sagan, Shakespeare, Dickens, for a start. You don't need to be superstitious to be a poet. You don't need to hate GM technology to care about the beauty of the planet. You don't have to claim a soul to promote compassion. Science is not a body of knowledge nor a belief system. It is just a term which describes humankind's incremental acquisition of understanding through observation. Science is awesome. The arts and sciences need to work together to improve how knowledge is communicated. The idea that many Australians, including our new PM and my distant cousin Nick Minchin, believe that the science of anthropogenic global warming is controversial is a powerful indicator of the extent of our failure to communicate. The fact that 30% of the people in this room just bristled is further evidence still. The fact that that bristling is more to do with politics than science is even more despairing. Six, be a teacher, please, please, please be a teacher. Teachers are the most admirable and important people in the world. You don't have to do it forever, but if you're in doubt about what to do, be an amazing teacher. Just for your 20s, be a teacher. Be a primary school teacher, especially if you're a bloke. We need male primary school teachers. Even if you're not a teacher, be a teacher. Share your ideas. Don't take for granted your education. Rejoice in what you learn and spray it. Seven, define yourself by what you love. I found myself doing this thing a bit recently where if someone asks me what sort of music I like, I say, well, I don't listen to the radio because pop song lyrics annoy me. Or if someone asks me what food I like, I say, I think truffle oil is overused and slightly obnoxious. And I see it all the time online, people whose idea of being part of a subculture is to hate Coldplay or football or feminists or the Liberal Party. We have a tendency to define ourselves in opposition to stuff. As a comedian, I make my living out of it. But try to also express your passion for things you love. Be demonstrative and generous in your praise of those you admire. Send thank you cards and give standing ovations. Be pro stuff, not just anti stuff. Eight, respect people with less power than you. I have in the past made important decisions about people I work with, agents and producers, big decisions based largely on how they treat the wait staff in the restaurants we're having the meeting in. I don't care if you're the most powerful cat in the room, I will judge you on how you treat the least powerful. So there. Nine, finally, don't rush. You don't need to already know what you're going to do with the rest of your life. I'm not saying sit around smoking cones all day, but also don't panic. Most people I know who were sure of their career path at 20 are having midlife crises now. I said at the beginning of this ramble, which is already 3.5 minutes long, that life is meaningless. It was not a flippant assertion. I think it's absurd, the idea of seeking meaning in the set of circumstances that happens to exist after 13.8 billion years worth of unguided events. Leave it to humans to think the universe has a purpose for them. However, I am no nihilist. I'm not even a cynic. I am actually rather romantic. And here's my idea of romance. You will soon be dead. Life will sometimes seem long and tough, and God, it's tiring. And you will sometimes be happy and sometimes sad, and then you'll be old, and then you'll be dead. There is only one sensible thing to do with this empty existence, and that is fill it. Not fill it, fill it. And in my opinion, until I change it, life is best filled by learning as much as you can about as much as you can, taking pride in whatever you're doing, having compassion, sharing ideas, running, being enthusiastic. And then there's love and travel and wine and sex and art and kids and giving and mountain climbing, but you know all that stuff already. It's an incredibly exciting thing, this one meaningless life of yours. Good luck, and thank you for indulging me.
And that was Tim Minchin. That was a occasional address that he presented just about a week ago in the Western University of Western Australia. If you like his style, he has a website. He has a lot of media, actually. It would be timminchin.com. you can spell it phonetically in Google if you like, and it will come up. But I just thought that was such a profound set of ideas, of perspectives, to really kind of help us to open up and look at the other side of things. Just to kind of recap, they were, you don't have to have a dream. You, let's see, be a teacher was one of them. Don't seek happiness. Remember, it's all luck. Exercise, that's very important. Be hard on your opinions. And define yourself by what you love, not just what you don't like. Respect people with less power than you. Very important. And I like the best, don't rush. You know, what are we rushing for? There's just a deadline that we will meet at some point. So if anyone out there has any conversation about this that they want to chime in, our phone lines are open, 899-5792. You're welcome to give us a call and chat for a bit, and we'll see what comes of that. So call on in if you want to. I'm going to go ahead and take our last break, and we'll be right back with Cynthia Fernandez, and this is Simple Life on KRXA 540 AM. We are going to share something else with you since I have you here. I should mention that just in passing, we had a author in to the bookstore today, and there's still a copy there that she left for us to take a look at. It was a really interesting book on addiction and love and other stories, so you might want to come on by and take a look at that. And before I forget, last week, actually 2 weeks ago, I talked a little bit about our tracking club, which is held on the first Sunday of each month. And the first Sunday of this month is tomorrow. However, it's been canceled. So I don't want anybody showing up. We sent out, let's see, on Facebook, on our events for Pilgrim's Way page, we had a cancellation on the events page for that for tomorrow. And then, you know, it's hard to tell who's written it in their calendar already. So I just want to make sure that everyone knows that the trekking club for tomorrow has been canceled and that it will be, you know, resuming next month. All right. Well, you know, I have to say that in terms of Tim Minchin's address that I just shared with you, I think we really need more artistic and frank expression like this, especially now. And I hope you all enjoyed it. I certainly did. And Hal, I'm sorry if there was some words there that are going to get us in trouble. I checked with Michelle and everything seemed to be okay. So for our last segment, I wanted to share another little something with you. You know, there's a lot of conversation around concern for money. Jobs, certainly, environmental aspects. There's a lot of concern for a lot of things right now. And it's actually pretty easy to lose sight of what really makes us happy. I have something here that is a scientific study about what makes us happy. It's really heartwarming. It's only a few minutes, and we have Upworthy to thank for this, for another virtual guest. So if you will indulge me for about, I don't know, 6 minutes here, we're gonna listen to some people who are not aware of what they're really walking into, this scientific study about happiness. And as things unfold, we're all gonna be aware of what's happening. So let's give a listen.
Shut up.
What? Wait.
I always gonna be so embarrassed.
What makes you happy? Having fun? Hanging out with friends? Delicious food? Making money? Well, consider this. Psychologists have scientifically proven that one of the greatest contributing factors to overall happiness in your life is how much gratitude you show. Yeah? Think about that. Go ahead and marinate on it for a second. You can thank me later if you want. It'll make you feel better, according to this study. You go ahead and click on it and read it if you want. Or you can keep watching, because we read it. We thought it might be fun to test out for ourselves. We gathered a selection of volunteers to act as our subjects. First, we gave them a test. They didn't know what we were looking for, but it gave us a pretty good idea of their current level of happiness. We asked them to close their eyes and think of somebody who was really influential in their life, somebody who did something really amazing or important for them. We had them write down as much as they could about why this person was so important. Now, a lot of them thought at this point the experiment was over, until we really put them on the spot and tried to get them to call that person and read what they wrote about them. Thank you, Jessica. We're gonna have to have you call your mother. So who was that right person for you?
Person is my sister, Erica.
We're gonna give Erica a call.
Okay.
Who'd you end up picking?
Friend of mine, Craig Ains.
Her name is Dora.
My college accounting instructor.
Really? Mm-hmm. Is this somebody you're still in touch with today?
No, I'm assuming that he's passed on.
That's a shame.
To the great beyond.
You up for it?
Yes.
What would you say if we called up Dora?
Oh, we can try, but she lives in Britain.
In Britain?
I don't know her number by heart, dude. This is awful.
That's fine. I don't know my mom's number by heart.
If it's true that those who are going on are looking down on us, maybe he read my chicken scratch.
Hey, sweetheart.
Hey, how you doing?
Yes.
You got a second? Where you at, in the hotel?
I am. I'm in the hotel. Uh-huh. You scared me when you asked if I had a second if something's wrong.
No, I'm on this little TV show, and they told me to talk about the person that influenced me the most, and I picked you, they're making me call you.
Oh, wonderful!
Hi, you've reached Craig. I'm not here right now.
At the tone, please record your message.
Oh, come on.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
Erica? It's me.
All right, so I got to read you this paragraph. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go ahead, sweetheart.
All right. The person that influenced me the most would be my mother, Marlo Dawson. She is a single mother of two. She is a very hard worker and dedicated to her family.
Hey, Craig. This is Loey. This is going to be a funny little voicemail, so I hope you enjoy it.
I'm so sorry for calling you at 4 o'clock in the morning.
I have to read this to you, okay? And you can't say anything, or I don't know. You can respond, but I probably will just keep going. Okay?
Is everything okay?
Yes, but I have to read this out loud to you.
The person who has had the biggest impact on my life outside of Jesus Christ, who is responsible for my existence, was my college accounting instructor. He had a joy and enthusiasm for his job like no other teacher I have ever known.
I love her to death, and she keeps me going with positive talk. She is a woman that knows what she wants and won't give up until it is achieved.
Oh, something. I don't know what. I'm about to cry because it's so beautiful.
I have to say that's just wonderful.
I first met Craig on an independent feature film set in Whitefish, Montana. I recently have been sending Craig a lot of positive thoughts as he's suffered a series of health problems. Despite his medical problems, he's continued to work and take pleasure in the small things in life, like sitting quietly with his wife, Janine, on the porch.
Erica is my older sister and my best friend. Sometimes it even feels like we are twins. She's my number one fan and my number one supporter. She makes me happy because despite all my mistakes and my decisions, she still loves me no matter what.
Your friendship is everything. And you are one of the most important person in my life.
Even when she has a kid and many children, I will love her more than her kids. Okay, maybe not. I will never forget when she flew 3,000 miles at the drop of a phone call to save me from a breakup.
I'm being blessed by having a son like you. I love you.
Bye.
Why did you do that to me?
I don't know, because they made me do it.
Thank you for picking up. Bye, sweetie.
And then they're like, here, you're gonna write this letter. And then I wrote like this whole long ass letter, which, you know, I like don't write. And then all of a sudden they're like, hey, guess what? Now we're gonna call her and you're gonna read her this letter. And I was like, what the f-?
Who would have thought such simple things would make such a profound difference telling somebody who is a significant part of your life, who's made a huge difference in your life, that that is the case actually increases your happiness quotient? Well, I think that's something that all of us can do simply. So if you can think of someone that has meant a lot in your life, I challenge you. Pick up the phone, send them a text, email them, or better yet, just tell them in person. So, happiness, unabashed clarity, and looking at things from a bigger picture, that's been our perspective today on Simple Life. And hopefully you will see, as I do, that the simple things actually, they travel the world over. We have more similarities than we have differences at a deep, deep level. And perhaps now we're finding out that that is the case. And I think that's good news. I mean, I really think that's good news. It isn't that it isn't painful to go through changes and to look at things that are uncertain, but certainly to have situations change is very supportive. And don't they make great stories later on? I mean, really. So I hope you enjoyed our guest today. I want to tell you a funny story. Speaking of guests, I mentioned a couple weeks ago that I use a lot of Facebook and get some of my news information that way, just because there's so many various avenues of news that are available on Facebook. It's different than flipping through the channels on the TV and finding that they're all pretty much saying the same story. So one of my Facebook friends is actually an author that I have, I read his first book back in the 90s. And that book is titled The Peaceful Warrior. And so when I first got on Facebook, I looked him up, Dan Millman, and I friended him and he friended me back. And so every once in a while I get status feeds or great quotes from Dan, and I just really enjoy having that connection. Well, because of that, I got a status feed not that long ago, probably, I don't know, maybe 2 months ago now, that he and his daughter Sierra have co-authored a new book, and they'll be releasing that. I think it's being released within the next week or so. And so I commented on that post and I said, you know, congratulations, it sounds like a great book. And by the way, we'd love to host a book signing for you in Carmel at our bookstore. And you might remember it because you've been there. And so a couple of days ago, I got a phone call from a publisher that this book is published through. And she said, somebody at your store, I don't know, I got this note from Dan Millman. And I said, that was me. She says, well, I've been instructed to set up a book signing with you. So we set up a book signing and a radio interview. And if you want to mark your calendars, I think it's a big deal. He's going to be on Simple Life Radio with me, and it will be a phone-in interview. The scheduled date is November the 9th, and we'll take up the full hour. He is on tour with his daughter, Sierra Prasad, through the state of California doing this book launch. And so he only will be able to phone in, but he will be in the bookstore on November the 22nd. Both he and his daughter doing a book signing then. So mark your calendars. I'd love to see you in the bookstore, and we will have a lot of picture taking and a lot of good communication. Dan Millman published was The Peaceful Warrior, and then Sacred Journey, where he outlines the story of traveling to the Hawaiian Islands. And I was so tickled when I got that phone call. So keep that in mind and mark your calendars. We've got a lot of great events, everybody. Just keep an idea if you are looking for something to do or you want to see what we're up to. Take a look at our Facebook page, Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore, and click on events. You can also get to it by going to our website, pilgrimsway.com, and click on events. And that's going to be our show for today. I hope all is well out there and we're resting and calming ourselves, because there is something good in store just around the corner. Until then, I will be with you again next Saturday on Simple Life.